Welcome back. Last hour of Catholic Answers Live for the year 2021. We made it. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be the best hour of Catholic Answers Live for the year 2021. We are in position.
At least the best one remaining.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
See,
for that
you get somebody with philosophical training on the show.
But we're about to close out the year, so I need to ask you both to bring your A game. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, here with us.
Thank you. I brought my A game last night.
Oh, that's right, because you guys, Joe, and we have to hear about baseball now.
Softball, sorry. The Cristeros, which is the Catholic Answers co-ed softball team.
Yeah.
We were in the finals last night. So in the semifinals last week. We were the number 4 seed. We beat the number 1 seed, an undefeated team. We beat them 15-14. This was last week.
You're aware that we broadcast around the world with this radio program.
It's important for people to know.
This was a local softball league in alcohol.
Yes, this is important for people.
I just want to make sure we know the parameters of what we're...
And this isn't even my important announcement. So last night, I did. I actually left part of my left leg on the field last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, sliding into second base. Oh. I was safe. Yeah,
but congratulations.
We did. Well, John Versillo, who runs our video department, looked at me. He said, "What are you doing? How old are you?"
Oh, because you slid?
Yes.
No, you're never too old to slide.
He said, how old are you? And then, of course, I had a little bit of blood on my leg when I got home, and Jacqueline said the same thing. She said, how old are you?
No, that's a...
In any case, we lost 11-5, but we put up a huge fight, so we got the silver medal.
Congratulations
to Todd Aglialoro, aka Skip, who runs our...
He's your skipper?
He runs the press here at Catholic Answers, and he is the manager of the Cristeros, the Catholic Answers softball team.
Joe, you want to say anything about that?
I'm just taking it all in. I'm just observing in case anyone asks me.
Here's the other thing, Si.
Yeah.
Today is the last day to make a gift to Catholic Answers and have it apply for your 2021 taxes.
I'm so glad you mentioned this because Christine said to me, this is actually the biggest day of giving in the year. I didn't know that.
It is the biggest giving day of the year.
Last day of the year.
December 31st. And we've made it easy. GiveCatholic.com.
Oh, yeah. So you're thinking, all right, I got this end of year money to give. Which I've never thought that at the end of a year, Joe. I don't know how your life is going.
You might be like, I'm trying to avoid some taxes.
I've literally never come to the end of the year and been like, well, I've got some money to... But if you do, givecatholic.com.
Givecatholic.com.
That's so easy.
Right.
All right.
It's a way to re-gift all the money you got for Christmas that you didn't want.
Givecatholic.com.
That has not happened either, Joe.
help Catholic Answers finish the year strong. We are in healthy financial condition. We want to finish the year strong. We want to continue to do this great program and all the other good works of Catholic Answers, including all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Every time Joe Heschmeyer and Carlo and Trent and Jimmy and Tim get these one-on-one emails, you know?
I know.
The hidden ministry of Catholic Answers that continues to this day.
Right. Like, you think like a superstar like Joe Heschmeyer, right? He's writing books. He's doing talks. If we get a question that we can't handle on the air and we send it to Joe, he just calls the person up and works
out. Or just people who are uncomfortable calling on the show or have something a little more involved they need to go into.
It's actually one of my favorite parts of the job. It's like people will just email in often these more specific, maybe more detailed personal questions that aren't going to make good radio if someone's explaining a 5-minute backstory, but they make for a powerful email.
You had a fellow on yesterday, Si, with Carlo talking about scrupulosity. And I think, by the way, Carlo told him exactly what he needed was to help, you know, find a good spiritual director.
Right.
But that kind of stuff, we get those scrupulosity questions a lot here.
Right, right.
And we individually help people one-on-one. So from the one-on-one all the way up to the 30 million or whatever that visit Catholic.com, and the however many who listen to this program and the books and the great work of the video department and all the behind the scenes people like Heavy Metal Thomas, who manages our social media, and the ladies in customer service, please, givecatholic.com.
Givecatholic.com.
Can I plug the style of ministry just for a second? I call it the Nicodemus approach. And what I mean is if you read John 3.
It's in the dark. It's at night.
Yeah, it's all behind the scenes. Yeah, no, Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because he saw the works that he was performing. What are the works he was performing? Things like in John 2 with the cleansing of the temple. So Jesus does all this really big, kind of showy, kind of flashy. We would call it broad outreach. But it's actually in the service of one-on-one kind of stuff that you think you know, the cleansing of the temple is the big thing, but actually the cleansing of the temple is a way of getting the attention of people like Nicodemus so they can have those transformative one-on-one conversations. A lot of what we're doing here, maybe just to prick the conscience or ask a question
to start
to like a few individuals.
Yeah.
And I've had amazing things come out of this just interpersonally of people who maybe weren't Catholic, but tuned in. And it really is it's an exciting way to understand the relationship of the two things. It isn't like, oh, the emails are a nice thing to do on the side. It's like, what if that's what the show is for? Like, what if there's someone out there who, like, this show, this whole hour is for that person?
We know that's exactly happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. It's amazing the things people say about, you know, Jimmy will say something that I've heard Jimmy say 40 times probably, but he says it in a way that reaches a person. And then you get this email that says, I was in my car and I heard Jimmy say this and all the lights went on. And, you know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's, you know, how is it you always say? You always say,
we're the conduit.
We're the conduit. We're not.
He's the agent.
Yeah, he's doing the work. We're just.
Amen.
So.
Although I was going to say, sometimes that calls me the sign that your door is ajar when you're in the car and all the lights come on.
Yeah. That's probably a joke.
Give Catholic.com.
Oh, can we reconsider the hiring process here?
Did anyone think to interview Joe before hiring?
Now I know we need to ask a question about the 14th Amendment.
All right, the word or phrase. All right, moving on.
It used to be just red or white wine,
yeah.
But now it's 14th Amendment, yes or no?
The word or phrase of the year was synodality, the biggest news story of the year, COVID, the pro-life story of the year, all these court cases. We've still got pro-life person of the year, Catholic story of the year, and Catholic person of the year to come, plus some astounding audio, so good that it displaced our usual National Public Radio analysis, and we're going to do some analysis of this audio. It's our end of the year show. It's always fun. We just get to have a fun, nice conversation about what our listeners decided in all these different categories, 11 different categories. Some of them we went over yesterday with Todd and Tim, and today we're doing the final ones with Joe and Chris. And now we come to pro-life person of the year, which was not, this was one of those ones where the pro-life story of the year was so obvious that I didn't even count them. I just looked at the sheet and I was like, all right, it's either the Dobbs case, it's either Mississippi or Texas. But pro-life person of the year was a lot harder to add up. Do either of you have a pro-life person of the year?
It's Trent Horn.
Oh, that's pretty good. I was going to say President Biden just to troll side.
But... why you got to mess with me, man?
Governor Abbott.
Oh, yeah, Governor Abbott, yeah.
I'm just guessing here. I think Trent's doing a lot of great work for the unborn.
Yeah. Amen.
Trent is doing a lot of great. Somebody picked Andrea Bocelli. Is there some?
Yeah, Andrea Bocelli, his parents wanted to abort him. Or were told to abort him because he was blind, if memory serves, right?
Oh,
I guess his mom had the very brave decision not to, and he shared very publicly about this and how, like, I guess her faith really gave her the power to stand up to bad advice from a doctor. And it shows, it's one of those things where it really shows the value and dignity of a human life.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So that's beautiful. And I figured there must be something there that I hadn't heard of. But I'm just going to tell you some people who were put on here because there's lots of folks who, you know, they didn't get all the votes, but they got, they got mentioned here or there. Our friend Patrick Madrid got at least one vote. Archbishop Nauman, who was kind enough
God.
To call the show this year. Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Barrett, and Justice Thomas all got votes for pro-life person of the year. Justice Thomas asked the best question, I thought, at the Roe versus Wade one, where he said, "What right are you defending? Like, what right are you defending?" He said that to the solicitor of the
literally United. The first question.
Yeah.
Literally the first question.
What right are you defending? And well, if you say abortion, then the Thomas's answer is, well, that right is not in the Constitution. But they don't say it, but they go, well, the right to privacy, and okay, where's that in the Constitution? And so I thought that was. Anyways, I just wanted to applaud.
Well, it's a really savvy legal question because the people who believe there's a right to abortion don't agree what that right is. So the kind of pro-choice legal position is incoherent internally. And so you have people who don't want to say there's a privacy right that says you have like an unchecked right to bodily autonomy. because for one thing, it's going to lead to things like unintended consequences in the vaccine debate or in a thousand other areas. So smart legal theorists are actually a little uneasy about just saying there's an unenumerated right to privacy or to bodily autonomy or to abortion. It's really hard to press down where that right is, and the rationale shifts a lot. So yeah. I like the question, and you'll notice the counselor not able to answer it.
No.
It was a total dodge.
Let me give you some single names, other people that got mentioned, but weren't the winners. A lot of them, people who have appeared on this show, some who have not appeared on this show, but they're just great people, and we love them. Stephanie Gray Connors, our friend, Bishop Pepraki, the wonderful Bishop Pepraki.
Amen.
Pepraki. Obianuju Akeocha, also a wonderful pro-life voice and force as well. Father Frank Pavone, a few votes for Kristen Hawkins of Students for Life. And then I think it's just great that these two ended up right next to each other. Two people voted within minutes of each other. One picked Jesse Romero, another Gloria Purvis. You can't find two more different people, both wonderfully pro-life people. That makes me so happy that we have that.
I would watch that show. If we can get a panel with them.
Oh, yeah, get a panel. I'd watch that. But you know what? Have them talk about human life, and they're both going to be superstars. They're both going to be just superstars. And that makes me so proud and happy to be Catholic. All right. So, but those are all kind of honorable mentions. Now we'll get to the top four. I'm going to do the top four because three and four were very close. Number four was Archbishop Cordiglione of San Francisco.
Yeah, good.
Did I do the break yet? No, I didn't do the break yet. Okay, so I'll do that. This has been a good moment to. We're doing radio here, Joe. I have to ask questions sometimes. I forget whether I did the break or not. You can remember everything.
Are we on the air? We've been live.
Abby Johnson was number three. You all know Abby Johnson?
Do
she made the movie. I don't know what she did this year, but I guess she's just still doing it. She's just bringing it for the pro-life cause. All right, I'm going to save the top two till after the break. Right back with more of the end of the year programming here on Catholic Answers, where we find out how the Catholic Answers listeners voted on all kinds of categories. Right now, we're in the midst of Pro-Life Person of the Year. We'll do number one and two right after this.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Conversations with Consequences, where we delve deeper into issues affecting our church, our country, and our core, the family.
As Catholics, we need to be informed, aware, and able to talk through some of the tough topics that we're facing in our culture and in our world. Conversations with Consequences gives us the tools to do so.
It's not enough to pray. We have to be a light for the world.
Conversations with Consequences, tomorrow at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Number four was Archbishop Corleone in Pro-Life Person of the Year, according to Catholic Answers Voters. Number three was Abby Johnson. And we went right so fast past Archbishop Corleone. I just wanted to say a day of fasting and prayer for Nancy Pelosi, in which she sent her roses. And none of that, and I know the world does not understand this, none of that was trolling. I believe every bit of it was sincere. I was miserable that day because I fasted, and I'm the worst faster on earth. That's all I got to say about fasting. But I think thousands, maybe millions, I don't know how many people listened to the Archbishop and prayed for Nancy Pelosi. Because Nancy Pelosi is our sister in the faith, saved by Jesus Christ. We want her to, we're not trying to be at war with her. We just want her to come to the fullness of truth about this issue, about not killing little tiny babies.
Yeah, she's someone who actually goes to church, and I don't think it's just for political show. I think there's some serious areas of malformation, but I think she's someone who, the strange dynamism of grace, man. It's, you never know.
God will work.
God can do amazing things.
Right.
He is doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's she's very much worth praying for and loving. Like, that's a good challenge for all of us to,
absolutely.
To do.
By the way, last year, the pro-life person of the year by about a million votes was Donald Trump. Like, that was one of the, but this year, it really was not clear. It was a lot of different, and people kind of fumbling around for the pro-life person of the year. And I think it was Donald Trump because Amy Coney Barrett had just gotten on the Supreme Court, and everyone was very hopeful about Roe v. Wade, all the pro-life people we were. And so I think Donald Trump just, and then number two, which is weird, way down there was Amy Coney Barrett. Like, everyone, Trump, you know, like the actual justice was way down there, but because we didn't know yet how she would rule. But all right, so somewhat controversial on number two, Lila Rose. Do either of you know why I say somewhat controversial?
I do. I do. I've actually
God
written a
bless
piece
her for
on...
the good work she does.
But well, go ahead, Joe. You were
well. I was going to say that there's a big question. You know, she rose to prominence in terms of live action with these videos in which people were kind of encouraged to perform abortions undercover when she was posing as underage. And there were a lot of things going on there. The big debate people were having was whether it was okay to lie in defense of a good cause. And I think pretty clearly the answer to that is no, but you found a lot of Catholic philosophers and theologians, including ones I really respect.
Janet
like
Smith.
Peter Crave,
Janet
saying,
Smith.
Yeah,
yeah. 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 Came out.
Saying yes.
As a consequentialist, it was very strange.
Yeah.
It was, and well, the other half of that, which people weren't talking about, is that there's also the sin of scandal. That when you're encouraging someone to commit a sin, even if it's a sin they do for a living, even if it's a sin they do multiple times a day, you're still causing an extra wound to their soul
yes.
that wasn't there before.
Yes.
And so, like, real spiritual damage was being done to a concrete individual on video to make a broader consequentialist point. I think that this was – I think she's a good person who means well. She's a friend of friends. She's a friend of my wife's. But I – on this issue, I don't see eye to eye with her.
All right, that,
Joe has expressed it very well. And similarly, the gentleman whom I've met and like, who was in a similar way negotiating about the fetal parts under false pretenses.
James O'Keefe?
No. David DeLay.
David DeLay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It brings up the exact same moral problems.
Yeah. Well, you know, I suppose there's always a temptation that in an extreme situation, which the abortion regime in the United States is an extreme situation, comparable to North Korea in more than it's comparable to France, the way we do abortion here in the U.S., it tempts people to go too far. And
as our friend Nietzsche would say, don't stare at the void too long or it'll stare back at you.
Yes.
You
know, and then
in
he
all
went
seriousness,
insane.
Like, there, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was just showing us what it was like.
Yeah.
But there is that real tension. Like, the people on the front line of the pro-life movement, they're dealing with one of the worst evils in human history. And it's very easy in the face of that to accept all kinds of little compromises or just to become hardened in some way. Or
we got to be so careful about that.
Instrumentalize the unborn. Like, there's all sorts of these things. And so I, you know, the critique is coming from a place of having a tremendous amount of respect for what they're doing and what they're trying to do, but also realizing, like, because of that, it's actually more important that we say, yeah, but be really careful over here because that's a dangerous road to go down.
That is, that's really well said.
Well, like,
Joe.
It's like the person who's the pro-life person, and some have argued that, you know, you could scientifically, within some short period of time, perfect because pigs are very hospitable to humans. Pig biology is very hospitable to human biology. You could take all the babies who have, you know, are frozen, and you could gestate them within pigs, and then they would be allowed. But no, you cannot do that. You know, like, as much as the them being frozen is, as Pope John Paul said, absurd. But you can't do evil things to them in order to cure that. And gestating a human being in a pig is evil. You can't. So it's hard to keep our equilibrium when we see such horrors around us, but we must.
Amen. And very well said. And it poses some, especially when you get into IVF and abortion issues, the moral issues involved there are often so messy and so murky, where you can see all of the things not to do. But especially in terms of IVF, the things to do become a lot harder. So I think, you know, a lot of prayers for a lot of people are important there.
They used to call slavery the peculiar institution because it made people weird. You had to become strange. And I think abortion is that now for us.
It bends us and perverts us.
Yeah, the abortion, right. Number one, pro-life person of the year. I am going to say I find this one controversial as well. And I will say I'll make my negative comments, but I think you two are going to celebrate this person, frankly, despite all the flaws. Trent Horn. Pro-life person of the year.
Are you kidding me?
No, not kidding you.
I guessed it. Wait a minute. I guessed it.
Trent Horn, pro-life person.
Do I get some kind of prize for guessing it?
You get Trent Horn. You can have him.
Need to wash my car or what was
this? Yeah, I think it's great, actually.
I really agree with that. He is brilliant in his defense of life and the clarity of his arguments. His manner, the humor that he brings to his apologetic work. I totally agree with that.
I think he's mean to me, but other than that,
you're asking for it.
We victim blame in this building.
Yeah, exactly. That is.
So I think, you know, Trent is phenomenal, and I want to use the opportunity to maybe. I think he has affiliations with Justice for All before he came to Catholic Answers, right?
I don't know.
He seems to have some cross-pollination with them. But I was going to say, that's a pro-life group that does really good work of training people on college campuses. Then when we're talking about like Catholic media celebrities and like Twitter stars doing pro-life stuff, I don't mean Trent here. I mean some of the other people on the list. They're hot button, lightning rod kind of people. But a lot of times the people on the ground are doing this kind of quiet work of actually changing college students' minds.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting when you actually say, oh, yeah. So what I like about Trent, to bring it back to him, is that he takes some of those same arguments and kind of shouts them from the rooftops. Things that before I'd maybe heard like in a, you know, one-on-one conversation are now being broadcast to the world. And that's exciting. And that is actually transformative.
Right. I think it's very gratifying that when Trent goes to speak on a college campus, that this undergraduates have to have access after his talk to a safe space.
Yeah, well, of course you do.
And puppy therapy.
Yeah. You know what should be a safe space? The womb. Oh, sorry. I beg your pardon. Yeah. My bad. That was unfair to say. Okay.
Go Trent.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something about Trent. I've told this story before, but because I think I know why Trent is effective, and I think the reason is Jesus. And this is what happens. Trent and I, it's not
Marvel Comics.
It's not, even though he loves Marvel Comics with probably an inordinate kind of love.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's totally lost his mind. Yes.
But Trent and I for years have done this show where, why are you pro-choice? Which is, it's brutal. It can be 2 hours of brutal conversations where people talk about, yes, infanticide is fine, or, you know, they say crazy things like the Nazis, you know, if you'd see it from their point of view, then, like that kind of stuff. Like, you're dealing with really horrific arguments and things for 2 hours.
We've had call screeners reduced to tears.
I've been reduced to tears, but I've been not able to go on. Like, so one day I just got the idea, I'm going to go visit Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament before, you know, just spend a few minutes with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. So I opened the chapel door on his knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament. At the very front of the chapel is Trent Horn. Yeah. And I thought, well, there's the key to that man's success. And he has so many, I mean, it's a really beautiful testament to the fact that, you know, God can work with any personality type. God can work with do you know what I'm saying? Like
from the sublime.
There's so many flaws in the man, but
I think this is the episode where we find out if Trent listens to this show.
I'll either be getting a call from Trent later or not.
No, someone will ping him some way or another.
Right. Sure. So great choice, everybody. I'm so glad Trent Horn is pro-life person of the year. And unseating the incumbent, Donald Trump. He's the only person.
Trent Horn for president.
I think he'd be a good president. Except for all that economic stuff.
As long as I can be. Yeah, he is a total libertarian, whatever.
He's a loon when it comes to that. Listen to Pope Leo. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Let's start there, Trent. No. I mean, why do we have to start with Milton Friedman?
Oh, yes.
all right, we're going to do.
I love it when you and I can agree, Si.
We agree on a remarkable.
We're all three agreed on that one. Rerum Novarum, good. Yep. Milton Friedman, not as good.
Well, call Trent, will you? Yeah. As a fellow apologist, you know, there's something to this Catholic social teaching. But Trent also wrote a beautiful, beautiful book called "Things the Saints Never Said" or something like that. Is that what it's called?
Four copies sold.
We sold four copies, but those four people are
really edified.
Well, they got it. All right, let's just say they got it in the mail. All right, if you came.
I tried to find a free version online once. I'm not going to lie to you.
You tried to find a free version.
You work for Catholic Answers. We could get you a free copy.
It's like, but you were embarrassed to ask for it from our own.
By the time I got it, it would have been too late, so I had to, you know.
Joe, we'll give you the books for free. Holy smokes!
I think we get you a free signed copy of that one.
All right. Coming up, we've got one of the great audio clips of the year. It's not the greatest audio clip of the year. I think we've already done that one earlier, but it defeated everything else, at least for this episode of our panel show. Best Catholic Story of the Year, Catholic Person of the Year, coming up, and more conversation with our guests, President of Catholic Answers, Chris Check, and lowly apologist at Catholic Answers, Joe Heschmeyer. Right back after this.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
This is Debbie Giorgiani.
And I'm Jerry Usher.
Join us for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday at noon Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We're doing our fun end of year program that we get to do each year. Chris, you've done this for years now. I think, Joe, this is your first year doing it with us. I think Father Hugh might have done it with us sometimes and others, but
Todd's
done it with us. Well, Todd was on yesterday. We had Todd on yesterday, so he always does some of the end of year program.
He's an insightful guy.
Yes,
Todd.
You're just saying that so he'll put you in the baseball game.
My skills are sufficient for that. My skills.
Congratulations on that.
And it's softball.
Catholic story of the year, Catholic person of the year. These are the two categories. And then we'll wrap up with some audio if we have time. Let's see. Catholic story of the year. Let's do that. And we'll end with Catholic person of the year. That'll be the big announcement. It's like, oh, no, that's not like the Academy Awards, actually. They do best picture last. Well, anyways, I'm doing this way. I don't need to be validated by secular culture. Okay. Either of you want to guess at the Catholic story of the year?
It's
having to do with the Church. So it's a
confusing one, and it's the motu proprio, Traditionis.
All right.
I think that's a pretty good guess. I don't know when people voted.
You know,
because that was kind of a 1-2. I don't know when people cast their votes.
Oh, yeah.
It was kind of a 1-2.
Did they vote
yesterday?
Did they vote last week? Because then it may be the response.
The voting ended the week before Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everyone had voted by the time the Pope did his second round of Traditionis Custodis. So
the booster.
Right. It wasn't. The Traditionis Custodis.
The Roche booster.
Yeah, that was it hadn't come out yet.
Is that original with you, Joe?
I know. I just came up with it in 5 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. So. That's going to get a lot of play. Yeah. And you probably won't get the credit.
That's all right. I'm really okay with that.
The booster.
The Catholic story of the year. I'm sorry that I just didn't add up number three properly. So I'm trying to make sure I get number three correct.
You're doing math right now?
No, I'm just making sure. I wrote numbers down and I'm
on paper, not even like with a spreadsheet.
No, it's paper. Yeah. Paper was a good enough technology for the Bible. All right. It's good enough for me.
Interestingly, the book was largely invented by early Christians. I don't know if you know that. The
oh,
move
yeah, yeah, yeah.
from
scrolls to, book, scrolls to books. Yeah. Right.
Wall Street Journal, I don't know, years ago, maybe 5 years ago, had a great article on it. How Christians pioneered it. And so when you get Augustine doing the whole Tolo Lege thing, take and read, that kind of is impossible to scroll in the same way. You know, we're
right,
just
right.
flipping open and finding the thing. It doesn't work if you have to unroll a whole scroll and it's just one book.
Two people voted for this as Catholic story of the year. So this is not in the top four. I'm going to give you the top four, but I just want you to know that two people voted for Catholic Answers hires Joe Heschmeyer.
What?
Yes, two people voted for that. So
hopefully
now
they mean it in a good way. Not just like biggest scandal of the year.
Yeah, those are smart people.
I'd like to publicly thank my mom and dad.
Were their names Heschmeyer?
The number three. Wait, now what am I doing? Four or three? Give me a second, guys. I'm really having trouble.
The
number four story of the year. Archbishop Corleone urges prayers for and fasting for Nancy Pelosi.
Good.
That was the number four.
It's a good story.
Catholic story of the year.
It's a good story.
All right. That's all you guys got?
We already talked about it.
So okay. I mean, oh, okay. You know you're here to comment on these, but whatever. You do whatever works for you. The number three story of the year, the Bible in a year. Downloads.
Yeah.
I did that wrong. That's the number two story of the year. Yeah. Number two story of the year, Bible in a year downloads.
Speaking of our particular roles, I think yours might involve being able to read those in the right order. But maybe this is like the Academy Awards where
I'm getting really
the
tired.
Story will be Cy calls out the wrong thing. And
yeah.
If anyone
writes even a single story about this program, it will shock me. I mean, shock me to my core. So I feel like I'm safe.
Oh, well, that guy who writes for the
National Catholic
Reporter said you bully people or something. Or he didn't name you by name.
No, he said Catholic Answers. But I thought he was unfair to us. To
he
be
was.
A,
he was completely.
Did you see that?
Ridiculously,
Michael Sean Winters.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. He said
it was fascinating because I'm not sure he's ever seen a minute of the show
or looked at the website or talked to anybody who works here or yeah.
I mean,
because it's funny because I actually agree with the critiques if they were true. You know what I mean?
I thought they
applied to Catholic Answers.
Right. He didn't. What he wrote
the imaginary
was,
group
or to Archbishop Gomez
sounds terrible. Yeah. And I also don't like that group. Yeah. I've never met any of the people he's describing.
Yeah.
But I don't like him already.
I've met him, Joe.
I'll
be honest with you. I've met the people that he's criticizing.
Yeah, but they don't work here.
I don't think that's Catholic Answers.
No,
I don't think we're like bossy conservatives.
Hateful things to say about us too, just in a different direction.
Yeah,
right. Like, whatever. Let's not focus on the negative. One guy wrote a negative story about us this year, and his address is. Should I give out the address? What's that called?
Kansas City.
It is in Kansas City. I'm sure he's a lovely guy.
My reception was next door to it.
I wish he would just talk to us about it. It just seemed unfair. He mentioned Catholic Answers, which. Oh, can I say another thing? What's the deal
it's
with
your show.
If you write a story where you're going to criticize Catholic Answers, which is fine. There's lots to criticize about us. I just didn't think this criticism was a solid one. Why do you put Catholic Answers in quotes? Like that's the name of our apostolate is Catholic Answers.
It's called sarcasm. He's being sarcastic.
Oh, it's like Catholic Answers.
Exactly.
Like that. That's
yeah.
what he.
Which undermines his argument, his weak argument all the more, an incoherent argument all the more. But he was being sarcastic. We are actually...
Putting Pope Francis in quotes. Pope Francis.
Yeah, but we are incorporated as Catholic Answers.
Like, that's actually the name of
our... It's the proper name.
Oh, but he's saying
our...
that the answers we give are not really Catholic.
No, he didn't put answers in quotes. He put Catholic
answers.
No,
he put... the way I remember it, maybe I remembered it wrong. I don't know. All right.
Maybe, I'm going to put Michael Sean Winters in quotes.
or National Catholic Reporter. Right. I mean, we don't do that.
Well, yeah. Of the two of our organizations, one of us has had two ordinaries ask us to stop using the name Catholic, and it's not Catholic Answers.
That's right.
Don't push it, Joe, because there's ordinaries who would. So don't push it, Joe. If he's saying that we're not charitable enough, then he is right. We are not charitable enough. We've got to work on that.
Joe is.
But that's.
Not to sigh.
No, you're downright mean to me. you're not in the Trent Horn category, but you are a mean person.
Oh, we did get a complaint that Joe was mean to you.
Yeah, oh, I know. Right. From my number one fan.
I asked how you had your job, which I still think was a good joke.
I thought it was a good joke too, but I also am really glad we got a complaint email about you. I'm super happy to see it. The number one story.
You know what? We didn't actually spend a minute on Bible in a Year, and I want to give a shout out to it.
Sorry about that.
Podcast.
It's wonderful.
It is.
I listen to it every day, and it's to the point that my 2-year-old daughter calls it Daddy's Show. It's funny because I actually am on shows. She doesn't call any of those my shows, but she calls Father Mike Schmidt's podcast Daddy's Show.
And
it's to the point that she knows the end, the God bless he does at the very end. She impersonates him. It's wonderful. He does this fantastic job of reading scripture to you in a very easy to receive, kind of easy to digest way. And then he cracks it open. And he cracks it open in a way that is at once accessible and insightful. I'll give you an example from back in probably January. He's talking about the binding of Isaac back in the book of Genesis. And he talks about how there's a Jewish commentary that suggests that Isaac could have been 33 years old, which means that, like, the way people imagine the sacrifice of Isaac, he's like a little kid, and that's not actually present in the story. The next thing we see is the death of Isaac's mother, which happens when he's like 35, 37, something like that. So Isaac carrying the wood of the cross, it may be much older than we expect. And if he is 33, there's an obvious Christological kind of prefigurement. It's a beautiful insight. And one that, like, whether this is your first time reading Genesis or whether you're a lifelong devoted reader of scripture, there's something in almost every episode for everyone. And I'm regularly like, oh yeah, that's a good reminder, or that's really convicting, or that changes. I read this passage. And as someone who does stuff on the other side of the mic there, that is really hard to do. And they have such a consistently good product. Like, major shout out both to Father Mike Schmitz and to Ascension Press for really phenomenal work. I'd encourage it to everyone.
Yeah.
Good time to start.
I'm so glad you did that, because we get distracted because we enjoy conversation with one another. But I'm really glad you paused to make sure we attended to that, because so millions and millions of people have benefited from what the work of Ascension Press and Father Mike Schmitz. And it gives you a sense that... to me, it gives you a sense that the gospel of Jesus Christ is enough. You don't have to present, you don't have to fix politics, you don't have to fix the world economy. What we need to do is present the gospel of Jesus Christ, which begins with in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, and it ends with the book of Revelation. And it's all a revelation of God, especially in the coming of our Lord. But that's when we have that to present, why do so many of us think, well, what we really need to do is present a good critique of, modernism at the Vatican or something, which is not a terrible thing to do. Or the 14th Amendment, right. But you know what? Presenting the Word of God in a wholesome and helpful way, good on you.
Amen.
Nice job, Father Mike Schmitz.
It's so much harder to do than it sounds, because people always want to talk about politics. They always want to make every theological discussion about politics. And on some issues, especially abortion is an obvious one, it's kind of unavoidable. There's going to be a political element to that. But not getting lost in the worldly, secular, daily stuff, being able to preserve the stuff that actually matters, the stuff that endures. Oh, man, it's a good reminder for all of us.
If you can help people become closer to God, you're having a good year. And Mike Schmitz had a great year. A great year. Good for him.
Was that the, yeah, that was the number one story. So now we just have left.
Wait, was that the number one story?
I thought you said that was number two.
No, I messed up the order before.
Do you need to count up again?
No, I messed up the order before. It was Corleone was number three.
These are in like Star Wars order.
Oh, you're right. That was number two. Number one right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN uses the power of radio to reach people whenever and wherever they're searching for answers to questions about their Catholic faith. EWTN Radio is heard on over 500 domestic and international AM and FM radio affiliates. For a complete list of programs and how to hear EWTN Radio, visit EWTN.com and click radio. EWTN, the global Catholic network.
All right, I know this seems easy, but it's harder than it looks to get three numbers in a row. Number three, Catholic story of the year, Archbishop Corleone praying for and asking people to fast for Nancy Pelosi. Number two, Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Number one, Roe versus Wade getting overturned. So people saw that as a Catholic story, and we've already discussed that one. That's why I was thinking that Mike Schmitz was number one. But those are good.
Yeah,
I think that is kind of a Catholic story too.
Not specifically a Catholic, but also hadn't happened yet.
Okay, this. Oh, what, the Roe versus Wade one?
It hasn't been overturned yet.
I just amalgamated it all up into the pro-life successes of the year. That was kind of what people were talking about. But they said
so the further restrictions on the traditional liturgy
didn't come up.
Amazing.
No, it was hardly mentioned. As a matter of fact, some people did mention it. But it was not widely mentioned. Milo Yiannopoulos leaving the gay lifestyle and returning to the Catholic Church was mentioned. Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World was mentioned. Young priests becoming more Orthodox was mentioned. But the Pope, that didn't crack the... I don't know. People just didn't pick that as the number one story of the year. Does that surprise you? I'm glad about Milo. I think I knew about that. I don't really know much about him, but I remember that he was one of those people that would go to college campuses and then there would be like riots would break out because I think it's because college campuses, you know, are places for dignified interactions.
I'm not sure either side of that was bringing dignified interactions.
I don't know. But I'm glad. But if anybody comes to the Catholic faith, God bless them.
So, oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I don't mean to knock him. His style before as a kind of bombastic, trollish presence was sort of annoying. But I think as he's receded from public view, it seems like it's been really spiritually beneficial for him. And so hopefully that's the case.
Oh, that's
you know,
beautiful.
I don't know if you remember this. There was a reporter from the New York Post who had an article where he said chink in the armor, and he meant it in the way that normal expression is used.
Oh, but he said it about a Chinese basketball player.
Yes, and he seemed totally oblivious to it, but he caused this huge firestorm, and he either lost or quit his job.
Jeremy Lin.
He became a Catholic priest. So it actually had a very positive story where like getting out of that ended up being this like tremendously good spiritual renewal for him.
I think
going through that kind of like
receding from public view is almost always spiritually beneficial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when I hear a story like that, it makes me wonder, which I wonder every day when I get up, what's going to be the thing that gets me fired? I know I'm going to say something someday.
I wonder the same thing too.
On the air. Like, dude, like, what's the thing that I'm going to say? What's the stupid comment I'm going to make that's like, no, you went too far on that one? You know, it's okay to say horrible things about Trent Horn, your coworker, but no, now you
one know. Time I used the phrase off the reservation without thinking, and I got an email about it.
Well, you should get an email about that.
I'm part Cherokee. Goodness. I understand. I took the criticism as like, oh yeah, that probably is not a phrase I want to endorse as a good way of describing mental health.
No, right. But we're all going to get fired. Anyone with a microphone in front of them is going to get fired someday. And you just got to get up every morning and try not to make it that day.
I've got your back, Si. Give it a whirl. Let's open up and try.
All right. I would like to now read my pornographic manifesto. Chris, thank you for your support. All right. We're at Catholic person
of
the year.
All the ways that could have gone.
Did I do it? Did I just get fired? all right. It was just a joke. All right. Here's the Catholic person of the year. There's a tie for third. So I'm going to call both of these people fourth.
That's mean, but okay.
Should I call them both third? Is that how you do that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, well, you hear them. Maybe you'll think that you want them to be fifth. Archbishop Vigano and Bishop Joseph Strickland. They tied for third for person of the year.
I imagine there was Catholic probably a lot of overlap for people who would have voted for one of them, voted for the other.
Bishop Strickland, really? A dear friend of Catholic Answers.
I don't think they're
that comparable.
Well, no, I don't think they are, but I think a lot of the people who like the one like the other. I don't mean to suggest they are themselves similar. I hold them in different esteem. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think Bishop Strickland gave a fantastic presentation at Catholic Answers Conference. And one of the things he said that was really convicting was the difference between a person and a personage or a personality. And kind of playing on the root persona, that there's a difference between the kind of like image of a person you have in your mind, a Catholic, you know, social media person, politician, whatever. But then there's like a real life human being, son or daughter of God behind that, that, you know, Jesus died for. And that was a really good reminder in its often kind of fractured world. And I was talking to someone else who was at the conference who I think had struggled with Bishop Strickland, who was convicted in a really beautiful way about that. And was like, oh, wow. Like it humanized him in this incredible way. I thought he was fantastic, and then getting to talk with him one-on-one was a real beautiful moment for me.
I found him to be a humble man.
He talked with anybody who wanted to talk with him. He just stood around for hours. Anybody who wanted to talk.
Humble. Courageous to be sure, and outspoken as we would want an ordinary to be.
I believe I met Archbishop Vigano years and years ago. I'm pretty sure it was him, and he was very nice. That's my entire interaction with him.
I've never met him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he helped get my bishop in Kansas City, and for that I'm very grateful. Yeah.
All right, number two, person of the year. We're proud of him. We love him. He's one of us. I'm talking about San Diegans. It's Archbishop Corleone of the Archdiocese of San Francisco.
He is a San Diego priest.
Yeah, he's one of ours. Yeah. Did you know that, Joe?
I didn't, but isn't Bishop McElroy from San Francisco?
Yeah, they switched. Kind of that's exactly right. Yeah, it's a funny little thing. They switched. Yes. okay, so number one person of the year. Can you guys guess who it is? After all we've discussed today, number one Catholic person of the year.
Father Mike Schmitz.
He did it! Father Mike Schmitz, nice. Catholic person of the year. Excellent choice, Earth. Thank you, people of the Earth, for choosing Mike Schmitz as the Catholic person of the year. He showed us all, by example, just the way to be an evangelist I don't know, a good holy priest. Don't mess it up, Mike.
Can I give him an extra shout out?
Yeah.
I guess two things. One, he showed us that people really are interested in the gospel. We sometimes think, oh, well, no one wants to hear that. It's too controversial. Or if people, you know, you've got to be either a blowhard or water down the gospel. And he's neither. You know, he's not intentionally like provocative.
Not at all.
For the sake of being provocative. But he also doesn't shy away from speaking hard truths.
Yeah.
That is... As anyone who's ever tried it can attest, not an easy thing to do.
I personally... go ahead. Second thing. Yes, please. No. Well, mine was stupid.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
I was just going to say, like Catholic Answers and you know, dozens of others, he's not ceding the internet to the kooks.
No.
He says, we're going to be present on these platforms and as many of them as we can. And they're problematic, but it doesn't mean we're going to cede the space.
No.
Yeah.
Right. And I, you know, there are so many good people in Catholic media that we've all met. I mean, the Ascension Press people are wonderful. Congratulations to them on all their success. They've done brilliant work on many occasions. Matt Pinto, the founder, used to be here at Catholic Answers. I mean, if you think about
forged in the Catholic Answers crucible.
Exactly. You think about Mark Brumley and all the folks up at Ignatius Press, Bishop Barron and all his crew.
Brumley was a...
He was also a Catholic Answers. Yeah. Bishop Barron was never a Catholic Answers person. But then they got the...
They're no fault of his...
Matt Fred,
all the EWTN people.
Also formed a Catholic Answers.
Right. And then you got all these amazing Catholic radio stations and networks like Guadalupe Radio and...
Spirit
Catholic Radio and Real Presence. And I mean, you can name 100 of them. Oklahoma Catholic Radio, St. Michael's Catholic Radio. I should stop because then you forget.
How come you didn't name me? Yeah, exactly.
But I think people should know, like when all these people see a success like Father Mike Schmitz had this year, just celebration for that. Like people are so happy to see that. Everywhere I go, you talk to Catholic media people, they're just thrilled that someone's breaking through on that level. So congratulations to Father Mike Schmitz. We have the audio. It's not the audio of the year, but usually I play audio from National Catholic Radio and have you two respond to it.
National
Public Radio. I beg your pardon, NPR. But we're almost out of time, so I'm gonna ask Darren to play the audio, and I'm not going to tell you who it's from. See if you can guess who it's from, and if you have any response to this beautiful unpacking of the Christian sexual morals in the United States. Go ahead.
Yeah. And now I am fearful about Roe v. Wade.
You know, if you watch America, which I like to watch America and I watch television a lot, it's a very interesting schism that goes on here, because on the one hand, sex sells everywhere. I mean, you can't see an aspirin commercial without somebody having sex.
You
cannot turn on any program, especially on streaming, where people are having there's soft porn everywhere now.
Right.
They encourage all of that. It sells everything.
I don't think Chris
sex
knows who
sells.
This is.
Yeah. And yet when it comes to the reality of pregnancy, this particular group of people on the right in this country and these religious zealots do not understand the reality of what happens when you have sex. It's almost like they don't want to see that part. They just want to see the fun in the bed, not the second part.
What? Sorry, but all right, in case you don't know.
She got it backwards. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
There were two clues at the beginning that she is, I can't say off the reservation. No. What am I supposed to say here?
Confused.
Confused, right, yeah. The first is she said schism, and it's pronounced schism.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but the real clue was when she said, I watch a lot of television.
That's going to hurt you.
That's
if you do
the problem. You've got joy. Yeah. Turn off the TV.
Read a book.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Joy Behar from The View, by the way, and it made no sense what she said. I mean,
well, I think actually, in a lot of ways, if I'm
she was doing great for a while.
Well, no, if I understand what she's saying, it's you have to be okay with abortion because it's how we allow sexual libertinism to happen.
That's exactly what she said. She said we want to gratify our glands in any way that we can. So because this thing is an unfortunate consequence of that, we need to be able to kill it. Yeah. That's what she said.
And so we were being naive for not realizing
that sex makes babies when that's what we talk about all the time.
I know that this is the incredible thing is like, you will find people on the pro-choice side who literally are like, what does sex have to do with babies? What do babies have to do with sex? Because with IVF and abortion, you've separated the two we've separated the two so profoundly.
Yeah.
Although, as Trent has pointed out so beautifully, if a baby were not the consequence or the product of sex.
If it didn't take sex to make a baby,
everyone would be pro-abortion. Everyone would be opposed to abortion.
Right, yep. Yeah. I think that's right. If you got a baby some other way, an egg or something, we all swam upstream and whatever, then Joy Behar, that was crazy what you just said.
Yeah.
We love you.
I mean, she laid out the ugliness of that view of like, we need to allow this as the peculiar institution to defend the lifestyle we want.
Yeah. But
it's a poverty, as Mother Teresa likes to say, that a child should die, that you can live as you want. Like, there's something ugly about that.
Let's end the year with Mother Teresa like that. That was great. That was Good job. So we're ending the year 2021. It's behind us. It's in the rearview mirror. Thanks for joining us for as many shows as you joined us for, and particularly for this one. Joe Heschmeyer, thanks. We're so happy that 2021 brought you to us.
Likewise, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks, guys.
I'm so grateful, Si, for all the people who support Catholic Answers.
I am, too. Go to givecatholic.com if you want to give on this last day of the year. Givecatholic.com. And thank you all for spending this year and this time with us. We'll see you in the new year, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.